This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Let's get it. All football, all the time. You're listening to the best football show. Hosted by Brian Baldinger.
Hello, welcome to the best football show. I am Brian Baldinger. That's Baldy NFL. On all your social media platforms, been posting a bunch of videos yesterday and today about Week 12 action. You can watch this. You can download your Odyssey app for free right here, and you can watch this on a daily basis wherever you get your apps. You can like it, subscribe to it, and tell all your friends about it. Let's see. I spent the morning up at the Jets just doing some podcasts and some video breakdowns and some things up there. It's their day off up there, so not much there, but obviously a lot of speculation about what direction you're going to go to. I don't have any news for anybody. I'm just saying it's just a strange place to see your head coach and your general manager all gone and Phil Savage running the team. So we'll keep you posted as we get closer. But two teams that are in contention here for playoffs and played last night, Monday Night Football, a Harbaugh Bowl. I didn't disappoint. Jim Harbaugh, John Harbaugh, John now 3-0 against his brother, for whatever that's worth. But, you know, there's a lot of interesting things in this game last night when I studied it. You know, number one, the Chargers came in, you know, after 10 games, ranked number one in defense. Starting two corners, Cam Hart, Tarheeb Still, and, you know, healthy and got their pass rushers out there and all that stuff. They just haven't faced anybody like the Ravens. And the Ravens are just different. When they run the ball like they did last night, that's a hard team to beat. They're just hard. You're not going to get many possessions. You're going to get worn down. They're going to play keep away. Like, all those things happened last night. I mean, they spotted the Chargers 10-0. They jump out fast, and the crowd's into it, and that's great. But they ran the ball 37 times last night. And it was Lamar. It was Derrick Henry. It was Justice Hill. It was the whole coterie of running backs. And they ran their game. They really don't fool you. Patrick Ricard is the lead back. They run some misdirection. But for the most part, it's just power runs. It's power football. You're going to get power near GO. You're going to get counter tray. You're going to get power runs. You're going to get quarterback keepers. It's really pretty basic. But can you stop it? And the Chargers had a hard time. I mean, they came in the reduced front. That means they cover up the two guards in the center. They got their linebackers and their outside backers, whether it's Bosa, you know, Tui Peloto, whoever. The Ravens ran for 212 yards last night. And Derrick Henry had another big game, second to Saquon in rushing right now by just not very many yards. And, you know, Lamar's is the difference. And so it's just a tough matchup. I mean, the Chargers have had 10 games, and their stats were real. That's a pretty good sample size. Number one defensive football, fewest points, all that stuff is, you know, the corners had played well. But when you try to stop the Baltimore Ravens, when they want to run it, and the ways that they run it, even the misdirection at the very end with everything looking like it could be a Lamar keeper to the right, and he hands it to Justice Hill going to the backside. I mean, the safety came flying out of the middle of the field. I don't know if it was Alohi Gilman or whoever it was. He comes flying in the middle of the field to the strong side, thinking that's where Lamar's going. And all Justice Hill had to do was just beat the soft end on the backside, and he was down the moving sidewalk, 51 yards, put that game on ice. They've got it. Sometimes they get away from that run game when they fall behind like they have against Cincinnati. Derrick Henry comes off the field. They're more of a throwing team. I think it's important that they get games like that when they get ready for the postseason, because you might have to, you know, play from behind. Might have to throw it. Might have to come down the field in the final minute to win a game. So it's good that you get that kind of work. But when they can pound you like they did, when, you know, Lamar is literally dropping back 23 times. He had sacked one time. You know, it's 60 plays and 37 more runs. They're gonna wear you down. So that was my take on last night's game. Chargers are still a good team. They'll compete with Denver for, you know, second place in that division, and maybe they get all three teams in, because all three teams are playing really good. All three teams play great defense, the Chargers, the Broncos, and the Chargers and the Chiefs. They all play good defense, you know, and you're going to have to play good defense down the stretch, keep the score down, especially if you get into bad weather and all those kind of bad fields, all those kind of things that can happen once, you know, Thanksgiving comes in a couple days here. Let's go to Detroit, because it's easy to see Detroit just winning 9 games in a row and putting up big points every week and all that kind of stuff. But they've had their share of, obviously, you know, losing Hutch was a huge loss. But, you know, they lost their middle linebacker, Alec Anzalone, to a broken forearm. You know, and that's, I mean, he hardly ever came off the field. He was a hell of a player, really good player. And so they have Malcolm Rodriguez comes in, he starts the last 2 weeks, and he leads the team in tackles. He gets a game ball on Sunday. He's got 7 solo tackles on Sunday against Indianapolis, a couple of them on Anthony Richardson. Like, the guy is a great player. I would say that Malcolm Rodriguez would start for a lot of teams in this league at off the ball inside linebacker. And he goes out there, and it's just the type of depth they had. And that's really what this is about, because everybody is going to get tested. All right, you lose Hutch. They lost Jameson Williams to suspension for a few games. You know, Khalif Raymond came in, played really good. They have, you know, what all good teams have. It's either they have great depth, or they have players that you might not think. I mean, you look at the, you know, the depth chart right here that I have on, you know, every team right here. They have players that there's no loss. There's no significant loss of talent or production when the next guy goes in. And that's what I always see from Malcolm Rodriguez. Now, most teams don't play 3 linebackers unless they're in short yardage, goal line situations, 3 tight ends, 22 personnel, whatever it is. Like, you might see three linebackers. You know, the Chiefs play a lot of 3 linebackers. They probably play more than any other team in the league. But, you know, Malcolm Rodriguez doesn't get a chance to play a whole lot. And he stepped in for Anzalone, gets himself a game ball. I'm doing Arizona and Minnesota this weekend up in the Twin Cities. And, I've watched all of the Minnesota game. You know, it's interesting because coming into the season, the Minnesota Vikings had to replace their entire defensive line. And I thought, no matter what Brian Flores does, that I've never seen a team have to replace all 4 starters. Danielle Hunter's gone. You know, I mean, DeMarcus. You just look at all the guys that they had, and they're gone. And so here comes Jonathan Greener from Houston. Here comes Pat Jones from Tennessee. Here comes Alex Van Ginkle, right, from the Miami Dolphins. Here comes Phillips. They replaced the entire defensive front. So you look up there after 11 games now, and there's Alex Van Ginkle with 9 sacks. There's Jonathan Greener with 9 sacks. Pat Jones has 7 sacks. I mean, they've replaced the whole front, and you can't tell the difference. These guys all play well together. They play well with the scheme. They got challenged by some of the plays that Caleb made last week, for sure. No doubt about it. But they've done a great job against the run this year and not giving up a lot of big plays. And it starts up front. And then, you know, Arizona's coming to town, and I'll bet that most analysts in this league can't tell you 5 starters on the Arizona Cardinals defense. And they held Seattle to 1 touchdown, 1 touchdown in that game. And when you watch them play, they started a rookie safety, okay, in Dadrian Taylor-Demerson. All right, the kid had 9 tackles in the game, right? He He's in there for Jalen Thompson. Buda Baker always is good. I mean, when you look at this team, now they sacked Geno Smith five times, and they chased him a bunch. And you look, okay, there's Zavian Collins, okay? Buda Baker with a sack. L.J. Collier has been cut from a number of teams, former number one pick from TCU. But he's got a chance to play now. So he's playing good, right? Jake Luketta, guy comes up with big plays. Kazir White is their middle linebacker. They play reduced runs. They overload pressures. The young corners, you know, Max Melton, the younger brother of Bo Melton up in Green Bay, Rutgers kid, you know, I mean, out there balling out there at the corner. I mean, they went up against, you know, DK and Jackson Smith and Jigba. I thought they played pretty well. They took the ball away, interceptions, forced fumbles. They did a lot of good things. Xavier Collins had a forced fumble and a sack and had an interception in the end zone to stop a drive. They gave, and you know, you look, and they gave up one touchdown in the game. You know, and the Seattle's in first place. They just beat, you know, the Cardinals by virtue of that. You know, they're both 6-5, but, you know, because they went head-to-head with Arizona and they beat them, you know, Seattle's in first place. But anybody that just wants to write Arizona off is crazy. Now, look, Kyler Murray threw his first interception in a month, and it was a great play by Devin Witherspoon and Kobe Bryant, and it forced an errant throw. And then they picked up a convoy, and, you know, Kobe Bryant scored the touchdown. That was the difference in the game. But make no mistake, Seattle's defense, I won't take anything away. They go to the Jets this week, and they play the Jets. Jets have their hands full. If their offensive line doesn't play better than they have played all year, they're going to get it handed to them. Their head's going to get handed by the Seattle defense. Oh, by the way, that's leading the charge up front is Big Cat Williams. Played one of the best games I've ever seen him play in 10 years. But he's playing great football. Plays a lot of snaps. Plays with great energy. The Jets know him. They drafted him with the 5th pick, you know, years ago. But they're going to see a great defense, I think, and a defense coming in. But I was talking about Arizona and Minnesota. Like, I mean, on paper, it says Minnesota should get their 10th win and stay right on the Detroit Lions' heels. Oh, that's true. And you look at the receiving core, because I'm watching – you know, Jordan Addison had a great game last week for Minnesota. He caught a number of big plays against Chicago. But, you know, Justin Jefferson draws so much attention. And I'm interested to see how Arizona is going to handle Justin Jefferson. Because the guy is a very selfless player. He's the highest paid receiver in the league, and he's worth every penny. But they use him as a decoy. If teams want to really shade their safeties and their coverage to him, then you're going to get Jalen Naylor with a touchdown like he had last week, 10-yard touchdown. All right, you're going to get Jordan Addison with big plays. You're going to – T.J. Hockenson is now back. They've got unbelievable weapons. And, oh, by the way, Aaron Jones has 800 yards rushing. All right, like he's having a great season. And he had his longest run of the year last week against Chicago at 41 yards on the 5th play of the game. They're down – Minnesota lost their left tackle, okay? They're down to their second tackle, Cam Robinson. He went out of the game last week early first quarter, you know, and they had to go to their third team tackle. Didn't seem to make much difference. Sam Darnold's continued to make really good throws and good plays. So that promises we're going to get into these games tomorrow as we start looking ahead to Thanksgiving and we start looking ahead to week 13 games because, honestly, everybody – that this is officially the stretch run. Now, Thanksgiving comes a little bit later this year, November 28th, a little bit later than normal. But we get 3 games on Thanksgiving, and then we get week 13. And this is when you got to be making your push. When you have to, teams that might be 6-5, 5-6 in that range, 7-5 like Denver, this is the time. You're going to go to the playoffs. You want to start playing your best football. There's 6 weeks left of the season. 6 weeks. This is when you want to start really – putting it together, it's never too – I don't care if you're 4-7 right now, say Cincinnati, like there's still time, but you got to start stacking it. You got to start playing your best football. You got to really go out there, whoever's out there, and a lot of teams are, you know, challenged by depth and by injuries and all that kind of stuff. It happens. But honestly, one thing I would say is 2 things that show up in week 12 games. Special teams. You look at the 3 holding calls on the return game of the San Francisco 49ers. It killed them. Special teams, you look at the block kick, again, last week by Minnesota against Chicago, difference in the game. You're looking at special teams. You don't want to be, in these last 6 weeks, if you're trying to make a run, you do not want to lose a game because of your special teams. And then the second thing is tackling, because tackling can be terrible. All right? You look at the tackling in some of these, like San Francisco last week. San Francisco's tackling was atrocious. I mean, you just watched Josh Jacobs carve them up. The tackling was horrible. He had over 100 yards rushing, but they could have cut off a lot of those runs early. So special teams, tackling. Just if you've got a team that you root for, you watch Thanksgiving, Thursday, look at those two things and see if they decide the outcomes of these games. All right, that's been the Best Football Show here today. We're 2 days away from Thanksgiving. Let me jump back on here tomorrow, preview the Thanksgiving games, and we'll look ahead here to some of the Week 13 games. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Hope you travel safe, and look forward to talking to you tomorrow.